Devasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
We have a rather esoteric section at the end of the Premadvani prayers. Divyanga Prabhu and others were chanting some mantra, and at the end of the mantra, what did they say? Om Tat Sat. So I thank them for doing that, because it leads right into the class. That's what the class is all about. Om Tat Sat. So we are supposed to read from Canto 12, Chapter 6, Text 38 to 43. So there's one of these has a purport. Well, maybe what we could do is, well, let's see, I suppose we're supposed to unpack at least one of the verses. So, we'll just chant in unison. Up until the verse that has the purport, although I have to admit the purport is not, my presentation is going to be on the whole group, but we'll do that for formality's sake at least. That'll be text 40 and 41. We'll start with 38 and we'll chant in unison. Yad alpashanaya brahman yogino malamatmanaham dravyakya karakakyam. Translation: a worship of the subtle form of the Vedas, O Brahmana, mystic sages cleanse their hearts of all contamination caused by impurity of substance, activity, and doer, and thus they attain freedom from repeated birth and death. Before we go on, I just want to read the purport to the verse just before. It's very short. It says, because Srimad Bhagavatam is the supreme Vedic literature, the sages, headed by Shonika, desired to trace out its source. So, text 39. Tato bhutri vrid omkaro. Did I lose everybody? Oh, it's not there yet. Ready? Sri Vridomkaro Yogyakta Prabhavasvara Yatalingam Bhagavato Brahmana Paramatmanaham. Translation, text 39. From that transcendental subtle vibration arose the Omkara, composed of three sounds. The Omkara has unseen potencies and manifests automatically within a purified heart. It is the representation of the Absolute Truth in all three of his phases, the Supreme Personality, the Supreme Soul, and the Supreme Impersonal Truth. Bhagavan, Paramatma, Brahman is obviously being referred to. All right, so this is a double text, but we could chant it more formally. Shrinotiya imam spotam Sukta strotre chasunya drik Yena vag vajjate yasyam Yaktir Akasha Atmanaham. I think to save time, what I'll do is we'll just repeat the first one, and then the second one we can just do in unison, so we won't have everyone repeating, chanting both verses. It'll take a little too much time. Shrinotiya imam spotam. Back to the first. Sutta Strotre Chasunyadri Yena Vagyajyate Yasyam Yaktir Akasha Atmanaham Srinotiya Imam Spotam Sutta Shrotre Cha Shunyadrit Yena Vagyajyate Yasyam Yaktir Akasha Atmanaham Second verse is as follows. Spadomna brahmana shakshad yakchaka paramatmanaham sasarva mantro pachinad vidabhijam sanatanam. So I'll just chant, if you don't mind, I'll just chant myself word for word. I'll be able to do that more quickly. It's not a race or anything, but actually almost half the time is almost up already. I have so much to share. Shrinoti mean hears, Yahu, Imam this, Spotam, very interesting word, unmanifest and eternal subtle sound. Sukta Shrotre, when the sense of hearing is asleep. Cha and Sunyadik, devoid of material sight and other sensory functions. Yena, by which, Bach, the expanse of Vedic sound. Vyajate is elaborated, yasya of which, yakti, the manifestation, akashe, in the sky, in parentheses, of the heart, atmana, from the soul, svadamna, who is his own origin, brahmana, of the absolute truth, shakshad, directly, vachaka, the designating term, Parama Atmana, the Supersoul, Sa, that, Sarva, of all, Mantra, Vedic hymns, Upanishad, the secret, Veda, of the Vedas, Bijan, of the seed, Sanatanam, eternal. Translation and purport by followers, disciples of Srila Prabhupada. Translation, this Omkara, ultimately non-material and imperceptible, is heard by the Supersoul without his possessing material ears or any other material senses. The entire expanse of Vedic sound is elaborated from Omkara, which appears from the soul within the sky of the heart. It is the direct designation of the self-originating absolute truth, the Supersoul, and is the secret essence and eternal seed of all Vedic hymns. Purport. The senses of a sleeping person do not function until he has awakened. Therefore, when a sleeping person is awakened by a noise, one may ask, who heard the noise? The word sukta shrotre in this verse indicate that the Supreme Lord within the heart hears the sound and awakens the sleeping living entities. The Lord's sensory activities always function on a superior level. Ultimately, all sounds vibrate within the sky, and in the internal region of the heart, there is a type of sky meant for the vibration of Vedic sounds. The seed or source of all Vedic sounds is the Omkara. This is confirmed in the Vedic statement, Om Ityetad Brahmano Nedistam Nama. The full elaboration of the Vedic seed sound is Srimad Bhagavatam, the greatest Vedic literature. Okay, I'll give two more verses without purports. I'll just, we can, text 42, is it up there? Tasyahi arsam strayo varnam. All together now. Akaradya brigodvaha. Dharyante yaistrayo baba. Guna namartha vittayam. Translation, Omkara exhibited the three original sounds of the alphabet, A, U, and M. These three, O most eminent descendant of Bhrigu, sustain all the different threefold aspects of material existence, including the three modes of nature, the names of the Rit, Yajra, and Samavedas, the goals known as Bhur, Bhuvar, and Svar planetary systems, and the three functional platforms called waking consciousness, sleep, and deep sleep. 43. Ready? Tatokshara samamnayam asrijad bhagavan ajaha atastosma svadasparsha harshvadvig adi lakshanam. Translation. From the Omkara, Lord Brahma created all the sounds of the alphabet. The vowels, consonants, semi-vowels, sibilants, and others distinguished by such features as long and short measure. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, Om Tat Sat. There we go. So a few just introductory remarks to get some idea of what we're going to be trying to cover in the few minutes that we have. In the poem that Srila Prabhupada wrote that was so much appreciated by his Guru Maharaj, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, one of the lines is, oldest of all and a new dress. And in preparing for today's class, it inspired me a little bit to appreciate how we're very, very, very fortunate. There are many kind of superficial attempts to try to practice something very ancient, very more than traditional, but ancient. But this Hare Krishna movement is rooted in the most ancient, even going all the way back to Lord Brahma, who chanted Om Tat Sat, and now we're chanting it even this morning. And we're not just, imitating, and it's not like that. It's by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and Sri Guru Parampara that we're actually being connected with this oldest of all. New dress means that, there's what is it, 441 out there, and there's something called Gainesville, and there's something called computers and things like that. But the oldest is still intact because of the authenticity of the way that we've been connected with Lord Brahma, the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. Another point we'll try to briefly touch on. This is a misconception that we still may have, many of us, that Omkara is impersonal. In one sense, it is impersonal, but it's not referring, its meaning is not impersonal. It's referring to personality. Therefore, Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is not something different from Omkar. If we have time, in the translation, it mentions something about three sounds contained in Om. And what are those three sounds? This is what I was afraid of. Okay, here it is. Of course, it went off. Okay, it came back again. What I'd like to do is quickly read all the English of this passage so you have an overview. I won't even read the text numbers. We're starting with 38. The worship of this subtle form of the Vedas, O Brahmana, mystic sages cleanse their hearts of all contamination caused by impurity of substance, activity, and doer. And thus they attain freedom from repeated birth and death. From that transcendental subtle vibration arose the Omkara, composed of three sounds. The Omkara has unseen potencies and manifests automatically within a purified heart. It is the representation of the Absolute Truth in all three of his phases, the Supreme Personality, the Supreme Soul, and the Supreme Impersonal Truth. This Omkara, ultimately non-material and imperceptible, is heard by the Supersoul without his possessing material ears or any other material senses. The entire expanse of Vedic sound is elaborated from Omkara, which appears from the soul within the sky of the heart. It is the direct designation of the self-originating Absolute Truth, the Supersoul, and is the secret essence and eternal seed of all Vedic hymns. Omkara exhibited the three original sounds of the alphabet, A, U, and M. These three, O most eminent descendant of Bhrigu, sustain all the different threefold aspects of material existence, including the three modes of nature, the names of the Rig, Yajur, and Samavedas, the goals known as the Bhur, Bhuvar, and Svar planetary systems, and the three functional platforms called waking consciousness, sleep, and deep sleep. From that Omkara, Lord Brahma created all the sounds of the alphabet, the vowels, consonants, semi-vowels, sibilants, and others, distinguished by such features as long and short measure. This is the first time I'm doing this, using the phone to read from. It's sort of an experiment. I hope it works. So we'll get some references to this Om Tat Sat. Now, I mentioned a couple of minutes ago that how different communities, they try to sort of pretend or not fully authentically try to be very, very ancient. But the an example of that was in the 60s when we were chanting a lot of Om, and we got a sense that this is something very primordial and very ancient, but we were hardly even skimming the surface. Memories. So, first of all, you might say, basic presentation from Srila Prabhupada to Rupanuga Prabhu, I think is still here in this vicinity. Omkara is a letter to him. Omkara is the alphabetical representation of Krishna. This representation of Krishna is impersonal. Okay, there it is, impersonal, but at the same time, it's more than impersonal. Just like his luster of the body, Brahman effulgence. Impersonalists like to chant Omkara, but we wish to chant his features of pastimes because his personal feature is the ultimate understanding. Omkara is the symbol of eternity, but there is no bliss in knowledge. Om Tat Sat. Tat means the absolute truth, and Sat means eternal. Omkara is also used denoting address. Om Tat Sat means, oh, the absolute truth is eternal. In other words, like invocative, like we say, Hare. Letter to Rupanuga, March 1968. So that was very early. Let's move on to Srimad Bhagavatam 832. Gajendra begins his prayers that he had learned from his previous life as Indraduna with Om Namo Bhagavate. Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport, Omkara Pranava is the symbolic sound representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Om Tat Sat Iti Nirdesho Brahmanastri Vidashmita. That's from Bhagavad Gita. The three words Om Tat Sat immediately invoke the Supreme Person. So we can see we have to qualify this idea that it's impersonal. Therefore, Krishna says that he is Omkara in all Vedic mantras, Pranavaksarva Vedeshu. The Vedic mantras are pronounced beginning with Omkara to indicate immediately the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam, for example, begins with the words Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. There is no difference between the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, and Omkara, Pranava. We should be careful to understand that Omkara does not indicate anything nirakara or formless. So how do we adjust this? We can say it's an impersonal, it's ostensibly impersonal, but it is indicating, referring, connoting, or denoting Bhagavan. Not something formless. Another reference. Please. How do I do this thing? Okay. Almost. All right. In Satya Yuga, let's see. In Satya Yuga, there was only one Veda, not four. Later, before the beginning of Kali Yuga, I think I should tell you where this is coming from. This is from Canto 9, Chapter 14, Text 48, purport. In Satya Yuga, there was only one Veda, not four. Later, before the beginning of Kali Yuga, this one Veda, the Atharva Veda, some say the Yajur Veda, was divided into four, Sama Yajurika and Atharva. For the facility of human society, it was divided into four. In Satya Yuga, the only mantra was Omkara, Om Tat Sat. The same name Omkara is manifest in the mantra Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I wish I would have known about this when back in the 60s. When the movement first started, it seemed like Om was more cool. It was more cool to chant Om. You know, the hippies were really into it. I was in that community, countercultural community. And then we hear Swami Bhaktivedanta is something we never heard before. He's not giving us Om so much. He's giving us Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And at first it sounded kind of unusual. To get used to it, but here we're hearing it, it's not different from Om or Omkar. Unless one is a Brahmana, one cannot utter Omkara and get the desired result. Sorry, hippies. We didn't know that. But in Kali Yuga, almost everyone is a Shudra, unfit for pronouncing the Pranava Omkara. Therefore, the Shastras have recommended the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Omkara is a mantra, or Maha Mantra, and Hare Krishna is also a Maha Mantra. The purpose of pronouncing Omkara is to address the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. And the purpose of chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra is the same. Again, it's from the ninth canto. Another reference, because this is from 10.87.30, purport, Srimad Bhagavatam, prayers of the personified Vedas. Because the conditioned soul cannot directly understand the Supreme, the Vedas commonly refer to the Supreme Truth in such impersonal terms as Brahman and Om Tat Sat. So again, the adjustment is there. The terms are impersonal, the language is impersonal, but the referent, what it's referring to, is not a what, it's a he. It's the supreme truth, Bhagavan. Another reference. This is from, okay, this is an important one. This is a really, this along with the Bhagavad Gita verses, which if we have time we can get into and unpack the 17th chapter, text 23 till the end of the chapter. That's where you really focus. Krishna really focuses on his own Tat Sat and unpacks it quite meticulously. This is also equally important from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, chapter 7, text 127, and something from the purport, the text. The Vedic sound vibration, this is Lord Chaitanya speaking to Prakashananda Sarasvati, if I'm not mistaken. The Vedic sound vibration, Omkara, the principal word in the Vedic literatures, is the basis of all Vedic vibrations. Therefore, one should accept Omkara as a sound representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and the reservoir of the cosmic manifestation. This makes it even clearer. The sound representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And from the purport, since Omkara is the basic principle of all Vedic knowledge, it is uttered before one begins to chant any Vedic hymn. Without Omkara, no Vedic mantra is successful. Sometimes in temples when devotees are chanting Vrindayai Tulsi Devi, they always like to say Om first. Om Vrindayai. It seems a popular thing to do. It's not un-Vedic, that's for sure. Without Omkara, no Vedic mantra is successful. The Goswamis therefore declare that Pranava Omkara is the complete representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and they have analyzed Omkara in terms of its alphabetical constituents as follows. So you might be thrown off when it says the complete representation. Yet the language is impersonal, Om Tat Sat. But now it gets explained by the Goswamis. Akaranochyate Krishna Sarvalokaika Nayaka Ukarme Nochyate Radha Ma Karo Jivavachakaha. Translation: Omkara is a combination of the letters A, U, and M. Akaranochyate Krishna. And this is a translation, maybe this is just a comment on the purport. Akara refers to Krishna, who is Sarvalokaika Nayaka, the master of all living entities and planets, material and spiritual. Nayaka means leader. He is the supreme leader. Nityam Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam. Kata Upanishad 2.2.13. The letter U, Ukara, indicates Srimati Radharani, the pleasure potency of Krishna. And M, we're talking about A-U-M, remember, we used to chant Om and sometimes play Aum, like that, A-U-M. We didn't. We tried, anyway. so the, where are we? Srimati Radharani is represented by the U, the pleasure potency of Krishna. And M, Makara, indicates the living entities, the jivas. Thus, Om is the complete combination of Krishna, his name, fame, pastimes, entourage, expansions, devotees, potencies, and everything else pertaining to him, including water. Rasoham apsakuntaya. To continue. As Chaitanya Mahaprabhu states in the present verse of Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sarva Vishva Dham, Omkara is the resting place of everything, Just as Krishna is the resting place of everything, Brahmanohi Pratistaham. That verse, of course, refers to Krishna as the resting place of impersonal Brahman. The mantra Tattvamasi, remember that one, indicates only a partial understanding of the Vedas, unlike Omkara, which represents the full understanding of the Vedas. Therefore, the transcendental sound that includes all Vedic knowledge is Omkara, Pranava. Aside from Omkara, none of the words uttered by the followers of Shankaracharya can be considered the Mahavakya. They are merely passing remarks. Mahavakya means the great word, the principal sound, the nucleus, the central sound vibration, central sound vibration of the Vedas. Because sometimes they would say Aham Brahmasmi or Tattvam Asi. I had someone came up to me, and while I was, I'm sorry to mention it, but tripping, someone came up to me and started whispering in my ear, Tattvam Asi, Tattvam Asi, Tattvam Asi. This is how we were imitating in the 60s, you know. And you are the one, you are it. And it just kind of fed my fantasy that I was God. So we have to be careful to get everything properly received. Okay, now for the most well-known and accessible reference to Omkara, Om Tat Sat, we have Bhagavad Gita. Chapter 17, text 23 to 27, 28. That's Om Tat Sat, the Nirde Sho, Brahmanas Tri Vida Smrita, Brahmanas Tena, what is it? Vedas Cha, Jagyas Cha, Vihita Pura, Tasmad Om Itudari Tyam. Jagya dana tapakriyaha pravartante vidanokta. What is it? Satatam brahmavadinam. Then it goes on to tat. Tat ityana vasandaya phalam jagya tapakriyaha. Kriyas dana. Kriyat danas chavibidai kriyante moksha tam shibihi sadbhave sadubhave cha sad itye tad prayujyate prashaste karmani chaiva sat chabda parta yujyate. And then finally we have jagye tapasi dane cha stiti satiti chochyate karma chaiva tad artiyan. Now remember that word, tad artiyan. It's very, very, very important. That brings the whole Om Tat Sat science right into the heart of Krishna consciousness. Sat ityeva badiyate. And then the last verse doesn't directly deal with Om Tat Sat, but it philosophically brings us, like, the moral of the story, of the conclusion, is don't worry, I'll read the English translation to these verses in a moment. It says, Ashradaya hutam datam tapastaptam kritam chayat asat ityuchate parta na chattat pratya no iha. Na chattat pratya no iha. And I'll read the last verse first because it sums everything up. This is why the Om Tat Sat was so essential. And I guess it still is. We can say that before any activity, mantra, sacrifice, Om Tat Sat, Srila Prabhupada would sometimes sign his letters at the end, earlier letters, before signing it, he would say, Om Tat Sat, in some of his letters. So the last verse of chapter 17 of Bhagavad Gita kind of sums up the whole philosophy of this, that anything done as a sacrifice, charity, or penance without faith in the Supreme, O son of Pita, is impermanent. It's called asad and is useless both in this life and the next. And I'll read the other, leading up to this, what I was just reciting in Sanskrit, I'll read that. But before I do, just a very brief comment on this, is that we hear that Srila Prabhupada gave us so many very clear analogies and examples. So one that is unforgettable is that if you have so many zeros, it adds up to what? Zero. But if you put a one in front of it, then it becomes 100, 1,000, 1 million, 1 billion, 1 trillion. It becomes a very big number if you put the one. So the one is Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is a little bit of a sense of why it's so important to put Krishna in the front of any type of jagya or any type of chanting of mantras or any type of samskara ceremony, reformatory ceremony, or any kind of attempted auspicious activity. Because without faith in the Supreme, without adding the Supreme and having faith in Om Tat Sat or Hare Krishna Maha Mantra or Krishna, then it's useless, both in this life and this and the next. So what about those verses that we were hearing? From the beginning of creation, this is why, this is particularly what inspired me to make that remark about how fortunate we are to be authentically ancient. In other words, of course, you go beyond time, transcendental, you can time travel anywhere, like Narada Muni, but we're actually at least beginning to be brought into the primordial Vedic context or Vedic environment, subtle environment, the Vedas. And here it gives an idea, how ancient are we talking about? From the beginning of creation. You can't get much more ancient than that. The three words, Om Tat Sat, were used to indicate the Supreme Absolute Truth. These three symbolic representations were used by brahmanas while chanting the hymns of the Vedas and during sacrifices for the satisfaction of the Supreme. Therefore, transcendentalists undertaking performances of sacrifice, charity, and penance in accordance with scriptural regulations begin always with Om to attain the Supreme. Without desiring fruitive results, text 25, one should perform various kinds of sacrifice, penance, and charity with the word Tat. The purpose of such transcendental activities is to get free from material entanglement. The Absolute Truth, now this is 26 and 27, is the objective of devotional service and is indicated by the word Sat. Now Sat has got a really special role in all of this. Of these three words, Sat really connects with everything. The performer of such sacrifice is also called Sat, as are all the works of sacrifice, penance, and charity, which true to the absolute nature and performed to please the Supreme Person, as are all the works of sacrifice, performed to please the Supreme Person, O son of Prita. Now that Sanskrit of to please the Supreme Person is tat artiyam, it's offered. In other words, all these sacrifices, penances, etc., for them to be truly meaningful and have real benefit, it must be yukta or yoga, it must be linked with the Supreme. Otherwise, it ultimately is just so many zeros. Shinehi punya matra lokamushan. And again, anything done in sacrifice, charity, or penance without faith in the Supreme, O son of Prita, is impermanent. It is called asat and is useless both in this life and the next. I have very little time left, so let me just go back to my notes. About that ancient aspect of the Krishna consciousness movement. When I say ancient, I'm not just talking about some historical date thousands of years ago. Ancient in the sense of primordial, of going even beyond the creation. So, although the acronym ISKCON has a contemporary ring to it, is indeed older than all, but in new dress. Again, that was from Srila Prabhupada's iconic poem glorifying his Guru Maharaj. It has been explained that penance, 23, 24. Okay, what I'm doing here is, I don't have time to do what I was going to do, but I'll just do a little of it. It has been explained that penance, sacrifice, charity, and foods are divided into three categories, the modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance. In other words, chapter 17 does all that. It deals with those particular items. But whether first class, second class, or third class, they're all conditioned, contaminated by the material modes of nature. When they are aimed at the Supreme, Om Tat Sat, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Eternal, they become means for spiritual elevation. Now, this is from the purport to text 23, where I'm a little confused about where it's coming from, sorry. I take this passage as extremely significant. The Bhagavad Gita reader learns in chapter 14 of the essential characteristics. Now, when I'm reading something and I don't tell you anything what it is, it means I wrote it. Sorry. The Bhagavad Gita reads of the essential characteristics and effects of each of the three modes, and in chapter 17 of their respective impacts of the above-mentioned items. Also, faith is also analyzed in terms of the three modes in 17th chapter. And in chapter 18, many more things are analyzed in terms of the three modes. So one might suspect that apparently, quote, good, unquote, items such as sacrifice, penance, and charity may not turn out so well after all, especially when the lower modes pertain, At least they end up falling short of yielding actual spiritual elevation. But as Krishna instructs in Bhagavad Gita 9:27 and 28, etc., ordinary contaminated projects become elevated when they are aimed at the Supreme. Again, tad artiyam, saving grace. And this is effected by invoking the Supreme, Om Tat Sat. At the very beginning, indeed, we can envision the addition of Omkara as the placing of the vital one before any number of zeros, as I mentioned. Another point, Srila Prabhupada in the 1950s even placed the words Om Tat Sat before his signature. I mentioned that, okay. In his letters. These three words are taken from Vedic hymns, 23 purport. I don't know the verse. I'm sorry, I don't have the reference. Maybe this is 23. This is when I say 23 purport, it's all from verse 23 of the 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. That's the first of the series of verses that we recited about Om Tat Sat. These three words are taken from Vedic hymns. Om ityetad brahmano nadistam nama, Rigveda, indicates the first goal. Then tatvam asi, Chantogya Upanishad, 687, indicates the second goal. And sat eva somya, Chandogya Upanishad, indicates the third goal. Combined, they become Om Tat Sat. Now, I didn't mean to deprecate the vibration of tatvam asi, but it becomes misunderstood and misused when it's not seen in the context of Om Tat Sat. I want to be good. Oh, I still have 3 minutes. In the 26th verse, again, chapter 17, Bhagavad Gita, in the purport, first let us note that although most verses in this Bhagavad Gita section, I know I'm referring to that, focus on one of the three components, Om, then Tat, and then Sat, and even imply different purposes for each. Like, for instance, we heard that those who utter Tat, they're Kriyante Moksha Kankshibihi. They're Kankshi, they have desire for Moksha. Still, the trio is usually still chanted together. In the double verse itself, the Absolute Truth is the objective of devotional sacrifice and is indicated by the word Sat. The performer of such sacrifices is also called Sat, etc., etc. We get more of a sense of that, that it's actually unified. In other words, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't picture the Brahmanas coming and chanting Tat, Tat, or Sat, Sat. You chanted Om Tat Sat, but each word has a different value, you can say, and indicates something a little different and gives a different benefit. But together, it's all encompassing. I'll just one last point. The first verse of today's Srimad Bhagavatam section includes, by worship of the subtle form of the Vedas, O Brahman, and mystic sages cleanse their hearts of all contamination caused by impurity of substance, activity, and doer. Okay, this will be the last point. Let's compare this purifying effect with that of the holy name of the Lord as described by none other than Shukracharya in response to Lord Narayan as Trivikram, who asked him what the fault was in his disciple. Or his ex-disciple. Shukracharya cursed Bali Maharaj. And then the Supreme Lord is very politely asking Shukracharya, what did he do wrong that you cursed him? And then Bali Maharaj is already expelled from the heavenly planet, was it? So Shukracharya very nicely states the following. This is Shukracharya at his best. And what is that? Mantratas tantratas chidram desha kalarha vashtunaha sarvam karoti nishchidram anu sankirtanam tava. That there may, I'll read the exact translations, there may be discrepancies in pronouncing the mantras and observing the regulative principles. And moreover, there may be discrepancies in regard to time, place, person, and paraphernalia. But when your lordship's holy name is chanted, everything becomes faultless. When Srila Prabhupada was installing the deities of Krishna Balaram in Krishna Balaram Mandir in Vrindavan, they hired or engaged some very, you know, well-established brahmanas, obviously from India, probably from Vrindavan, to chant all these different mantras and oversee the, you know, do the jagya, and so that there would never be any future doubt that the, what do they call it, the Angris temple, the temple of the foreigners, is actually authentic. What is it called? Angrej. Angrej. Okay. See how foreigner I am. That is authentic and bona fide. So they had those brahmanas there. But then Prabhupada walked up and whispered to his disciples who were just sitting and chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. And he said, this, what you're doing, this is the real installation of the deities, aside from all those esoteric mantras. So, all right, I just tried to give some insight into this very esoteric topic of Om Tat Sat, which is what the verses were about. Does anyone, it's a little late, but if anyone has any question, quickly.
Yes.
Who's that? Trivikram, we mentioned your name in the class. That was Lord Vamanadeva. He became Trivikram.
So A-U-M, Om. Each word represents a name, but I didn't hear anything within the purport. So I think A represents something, A-U represents something.
You did hear it.
Huh?
You did hear.
Well, the tree represents?
You had cognition without recognition. You heard, because I was reading the purport to Chaitanya Charitamrita, the Adi Lila 7th chapter verse, and there that was all explained. After, I'll show it to you. I think everyone else might remember. The A, U, and M was explained quite detailed.
One other question.
Okay.
The one Vedas, what was the name of it?
Oh, well, Prabhupada, you heard that too. Man, what were you doing? Were you on the cell phone?
I was asleep.
Yeah, something happened. The one Veda, it was the Atharva Veda, but Srila Prabhupada said, some say the Yajur Veda. Uh-huh. So that jury will be eternally out on that one. Okay, well, thank you for your questions. No harm in repeating the answers. Okay, any last minute quick question? Or? Someone, Mati.
What does celibate mean? Instead of the consonant, it's
the
vowel, it's the celibate. What is the celibate?
What is celibate? Celibate? Did I use that word in the class?
Celibate.
Celibate. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm surprised if you didn't know what that celibate meant. Celibate, these are just, they come, you know, when you have different Sanskrit sounds, so you use different parts of your mouth, your tongue, your teeth, the roof of the mouth. So syllables have to do with S sounds. S, like sus, 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 syllable. Isn't it? Is that okay? Okay, thank you all so much for your kind attention. Jagat Guru, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, Om Tat Sat. Hare Krishna.